Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in a Monday edition of the Hoosier Report live from the Big X Studios in Jeffersonville. We do this each weekday at 11 a.m. If you can't catch the show live, don't forget you can also find us as a podcast. We are on Apple Podcast and on SoundCloud as well. All you got to do is search for the Hoosier Report. Glad to have you with us today. Coronavirus, it continues to be concerning. Floyd County, 142 cases as of the weekend. Clark County, 162 cases, so 20 more in Clark as of the weekend. And, yeah, there's talk about letting up restrictions and getting the economy going again, but still some surging ahead in many places, including Indiana. So we'll see how things progress this week. But the deaths, minimal, but still one is too many, and there have been a number of deaths. I think it is now 10 or 11 in Floyd County, and the number is just above that in Clark County. So we continue to remind you to stay at home. We continue to remind you to find other things to do, watch some of those old games, read a book, watch movies, do something to keep you safe and in the house. And I know what everybody, at least everybody that I talked to yesterday, last night, was doing. They were watching The Last Dance, the long-form ESPN documentary on Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, and the Chicago Bulls. Amazing stuff. And I'm not sure that I've ever been excited in a long while for a non-sporting event, a non-live broadcast, as I was last night. Episode 1, followed by Episode 2 last night at 9 and 10 o'clock. They're going to do two episodes each Sunday night. I think there are 10 total. Just great footage. It was amazing to kind of go back in time for a couple hours and not only see some of the highlights and the clips that we've seen over the years, if you follow Jordan and love Jordan and love the Bulls from that time, as most of us do, but to go and see some of the inside the locker room stuff and some of the drama that existed between the players and the management and even Phil Jackson in the management. But we're going to talk some about that today. It just was a tremendous job well done. I'm not a big TV guy at all. I'm not somebody that normally in normal time sits down and watches back-to-back hour-long television programs, but this really piqued my interest, and I got to tell you, the first two editions of this 10-part series, I probably could have sat there and watched almost all of it last night if they were all available. Really good stuff, takes you back in time, and I hope for some of the younger kids, younger players, younger adults, that this gives them an opportunity to go back and understand who Michael Jordan was. And somebody said this, and we're going to talk again a lot more about this documentary today, but Michael Jordan wasn't only a prolific scorer, which sometimes when you think about him and his big performances and how he scored the ball and the energy that he had on the offensive end of the floor, the tongue sticking out of his mouth, all the little intricacies that made Michael Jordan who he was every bit as good defensively. A number of years, I think in the double digits, he was a defensive team, all first team player. And he went after things at that end with a lot of effort and a lot of ability also as well. So interesting documentary. Can't wait to watch the rest of it. Lots of fun. And we'll talk more about that throughout the show today, coming up here in just a bit. Welcome into our program. Let's jump into the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we have our Zaxby's headlines. We'll take a look at a couple of recruiting things. One in the Big Ten, one locally right here in our backyard. A player announced his decision over the weekend. We'll also introduce a new virtual program. We had all sorts of fun and all sorts of feedback and good success on that virtual skills and drills program during this stay-at-home time with local coaches. We've got a new program today. It's called the Stay Home Skills Challenge. It's kind of a conglomerate of Hoosier Hills Hoops, Floyd County Parks and Recreation, and even the Big X contributing to the effort. We'll tell you about that coming up in our headline segment today as well. And we'll tell you who our senior spotlight athlete of the spring is today, all coming up here in just a few minutes. We'll also talk with an old friend, Andrew Grants, a young guy in college coaching now, former Providence coach. He went down to coach high school basketball in Florida and then now is an assistant coach at Missouri Baptist in the St. Louis area. And he's home, as most people are. If you can't work, if you don't have any access to your campus or school, you might as well come on in and come back home and spend some time there. And that's what he's doing, and he's helping us with this Stay Home Skills Challenge. And so we'll talk with him coming up here in just a few minutes about that program as well. We'll do all that in the first segment, and then later in the program we'll be joined by Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. We'll talk a little IU basketball, and then wrapping up today we'll have Chad Gilbert, former coach, Charlestown athletic director, also IHSA executive board member representing our area here in Southern Indiana. He'll join me for his regular Monday chat, and with Chad we're going to talk a lot about that documentary last night. Because he's an old basketball head like I am, and I have no question that he was studying that and already ready for episodes 3 and 4 coming up this Sunday. Don't forget, visit your local Honey Baked Ham store in New Albany, and they've got a new offer. When you purchase $25 or more in the store, you can get a large bone-in ham at 50% off. So a $25 purchase, you get a large bone-in ham with a 50% off the label. Pretty good deal at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, you can interact with the show. We'd love to hear from you. Follow me on Twitter at Hoosier Hills. You can tweet me there your question or comment for one of our guests today. You can also follow the show on Facebook by searching The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You can leave us a comment or question there as well. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's with locations. Don't forget they're still open for drive-through and takeout in Jeffersonville and New Albany. And our first headline, got to continue on with some talk about the documentary last night. I think two things that I took from it, and again, I've said this a couple times, we're going to talk more about this in the show today with Chad Gilbert, but two things to take from it that I took from it, both of them I knew. I think both of them any serious basketball fan knew going into last night, but it just was interesting to get the reminder. Michael Jordan did not make the varsity team at his high school in North Carolina as a sophomore. He was cut from the varsity team. Also, this might even be more amazing. Scottie Pippen was not on a scholarship at his first year at NAIA Central Arkansas. In fact, I did not know this until last night. He started off as like a manager / equipment person, I think is what he said. And then some guys had grade problems before the season started or as the season was started. And he went and talked to the coach about maybe just being a guy that dresses on the team, and then it went from there. He grew a lot in college. He got a lot better in college as well. But those are remarkable stories. I mean, Michael Jordan getting cut from his high school varsity team as a sophomore, not as a freshman, but as a sophomore, and Scottie Pippen did not have a scholarship, wasn't even going to play, and this is at NAIA-level college. We're not talking about him going to some big Division I program. Two just remarkable things. I'm not sure I can see a path where that would happen in today's society, where a LeBron James or someone of that stature had a story behind him that they got cut as a sophomore in high school. Just crazy. Those were just two little facts that I thought the documentary brought out last night. Also, a Big Ten recruiting headline, also State of Indiana headline, Luke Goody at Homestead High School. It's near Fort Wayne. He's in the 2021 class. There had been some interest, I believe, between Indiana and Luke Goody. I'm not sure that they had offered him a scholarship, but he did have a number of scholarship offers: Northwestern, Michigan State, Maryland, Iowa, Louisville, Butler, and Stanford were all reported scholarships offers for Goody. He was 6'5" shooting guard. He announced on Friday afternoon that he was heading to Illinois. So he'll play another season in high school basketball at Homestead and then go to Illinois. So Luke Goody, a name from the Hoosier State that we'll likely hear about in the future playing at IU Big Ten rival Illinois. Also from the 2021 class, that's the class that right now Christian Lander's part of. We'll see if he ends up reclassifying to 2020. It's also the class that Trey Kaufman is in and a lot of other great players in our state. By my count, you've got Lander to Indiana. I know he could leave that class if he reclassifies. You've got First to Purdue, Caleb First from up in Fort Wayne. You've got JR, and I never can say his last name, from South Bend. He committed a long time ago to Notre Dame. Goody now to Illinois. Pierce Thomas to Butler. Jaden Taylor to Butler. That's six Division I, high major conference Division I players already in the 2021 class that have made their college decision. That doesn't include Trey Kaufman, and that doesn't include potentially some others that could play at that high level as well. So when we talk about 2021 being really good and the class next year, high school basketball being really good in our state, that's just kind of an underscore a reason why. One other local headline, Henryville graduate Nick Walker. He was a great high school player for the Hornets. He played a couple years of junior college basketball. He announced over the weekend that he's going to finish his college career after junior college at Tiffin University, which is a Division II, an NCAA Division II program in Tiffin, Ohio. So he has a great chance there, I think, to come in and be an impact player right away. But Nick Walker goes the junior college route, got re-recruited, got some interest, and plays now. He'll finish at a Division II program. I mentioned the Stay Home Skills Competition, day one of five, and it's Coach Randy Gianfagna, the girls' coach at Floyd Central, with today's instructions on a golf shooting. It's a nine-hole shooting, obviously. Like golf, the goal is to get the lowest score. He gives a full demonstration. His daughter even goes through the shooting contest. And each day, we're encouraging kids to go through this stay-home skills competition, and by 9 o'clock at night to email in their result, their score, their time, whatever the competition of the day asks you to do. And for a bonus point, if you reply in the comments on our social media with a picture of your kid doing a drill, or a video of your kid putting in some hard work on the drill, you get a bonus point. We're going to keep track of it, and almost kind of like a competition while you're at home during this coronavirus situation. And with me now to talk about this Stay Home Skills Competition is Andrew Grants, former Providence coach, former IU Southeast assistant coach, now an assistant coach at Missouri Baptist in St. Louis. He's home right now during the shutdown of the coronavirus, and we connected with each other again. We obviously have known each other for years and years. And Andrew said, I want to help do something good for the community. And Andrew will be helping the rest of the week, presenting different ball handling competitions, different shooting competitions that we'll be scoring and having some winners when the week comes to a close. Coach Grants, great to talk with you. This is fun. This is exciting. Stay Home Skills Competition, another way to keep kids active during this down period, which is very unusual.
Well, I think it really speaks to what you've done here in Southern Indiana. I mean, you've done a great job of just keeping the kids engaged, and I know your love for Southern Indiana basketball and how deep that goes, and it was just fun for me to be a part of it and, you know, and just help out the community and help out the kids and give them some something fun to do, you know, something that's kind of challenged themselves and measure themselves against others in the community. And even though they can't be on the court competing face-to-face, they can still compete through social media, which makes it a lot of fun.
Let me ask you, Coach Grants, obviously today we have Coach Gianfagna with a shooting drill. Golf shooting is the name of it. You've got the next four competitions. What are some other drills, skills that you want kids to score as they do later this week? What are some of the things you'll be introducing?
Yeah, so we did a couple ball handling drills. So those will be more time drills. One of the drills that we have that'll be a little bit more challenging is I call it a 10-5-2 drill. So you have to make 10 shots on the block, and then you move out to the mid-range. You have to make five, and then you have to make two, and you have to do it in a row from each spot that you're working from. So, you know, it's a drill that I've used for a very long time, and it's really a good confidence booster. You know, when you get onto the court, you can say, well, I've done this multiple times and made this shot five times in a row, so it helps with kids' confidence and honing in their shots. And then, we'll have another shooting drill also where we'll work on just coming off a down screen. So it's not just stationary shooting, but kids are working on shooting off the move as well.
Absolutely. Andrew Grants, former Providence coach, now at Missouri Baptist. We're talking about the Stay Home Skills Competition. If you've got a youngster or if you are a basketball player, this is geared for eighth grade and below. This competition is, you can go to facebook.com/Hoosier Hills Hoops. Again, facebook.com/Hoosier Hills Hoops. At 9 a.m. each day, the competition for the day goes online, and then you have until 9 p.m. at night to submit the results. All the details are there, and on the video it tells you where to send the results, what you need to send in, and we're looking forward to getting updates from players across the area as they begin on this competition today. Coach, when I think back about some of your best moments here, and we go way, way back, but when I think back about some of your best moments coaching and being involved with basketball in the area, it's that Providence team that maybe was a sleeper to some on the outside that made it all the way to the semi-state. That was right during that New Albany run with Romeo Langford. That was a lot of fun up there at Richmond at that semi-state. Lots of Providence fans, lots of New Albany fans all packed in there together.
Yeah, that was great. That was just a great year for just the Southern Indiana community, not just Providence and New Albany, but just the community as a whole. And those kids that I had on that team at Providence, that was a special group, and they sacrificed for each other. And, you know, they were team first kids. And I tell you what, they made me look like a lot better coach than what I really am. That was a special group that was tough and worked hard and just sacrificed for each other. So it was a pleasure for me to be able to coach that group. And I love each one of those kids that were on that team.
Coach Grants, after you left Providence, you went down to Florida and were a high school coach there and had some success at the high school level. Now an assistant coach in small college basketball. Tell us what you've been up to.
Yeah, so, well, it's funny you talk about, talking about that documentary last night and Scottie Pippen being at an NAIA school. You know, I'm at an NAIA school right now in St. Louis, and the competition at that level is very, very tough, and I think it often gets overlooked at the NAIA level. And we've been busy recruiting, and we really try to recruit kids that we feel, have talent to play at the Division II and low Division I levels. When I was at IU Southeast, we played Bellarmine, and that was a 9-point game, and everybody knows how great of a program that Bellarmine is. And we played Southern Indiana as well at their place and went to overtime with them. And then even this last year at Missouri Baptist, we went and played Central Missouri, who's won a national championship in this decade. And we're up 5 points in the second half and ended up just losing by 4 down the stretch. And so there's a lot of talent at the NAIA level. And, so we've just been busy on the recruiting trail. Well, say the trail, on the recruiting phone, because we can't get out too much right now. But just on the phone a lot and trying to finish up our recruiting class for 2020 and starting to move into the 2021 class.
Andrew Grants helping with the Stay Home Skills Competition at Hoosier Hills Hoops, the Facebook page. Coach Grants, great work. I was with you when you recorded the videos a few weeks ago. Great stuff I think kids will enjoy. We look forward to seeing some of the scores come in, and I sure hope at some point in your college career, whether it's back in high school or at the college, or I should say in your coaching career, whether it's in high school again or it's at the college level, I hope we can get you back to the Midwest or at least back to Southern Indiana, Kentuckiana somehow.
Yes, absolutely. This is a special place that I grew up in and care very much about. And I'm just happy that you had me on and I'm able to impact it in a positive way.
Absolutely. Andrew Grants helping with the Stay Home Skills Competition and did a great job. You'll see his work roll out later through the week. Coach, thanks for the chat today. Thanks for all your help with this program. And we'll talk with you again down the line.
Great. Thank you.
All right. That's Andrew Grants, the former Providence coach. And he's got some great stuff coming this week for players in Southern Indiana. That's a look at our Zaxby's headlines for the day. Don't forget Zaxby's with locations in Jeff and New Albany, still open during the stay-at-home period. Drive-thrus, obviously, you can go through and get some of those great chicken fingers. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, a little IU basketball with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We'll be right back. We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back in this segment. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star joins. Each week we talk IU basketball and some football from time to time. But today, Zach, I want to start with a piece that you recently penned for the Indy Star. And if you're a subscriber, you can find it at indystar.com/sports. But it talks about how this virus, this pandemic, is a generational, life-altering event. And if you go back in history, September 11th, probably the most recent, but beyond that, wars over the years. After the country, after society comes out of the major life-changing events, it changes sports. It changes the way that we interact with them. And you had a great story on that, because I think it's something that we don't know exactly what will change or how it's going to go, but there will be some changes and some different things in the way that we take in sports, like a lot of things in our society will change through this pandemic we're going through.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, I got accused, I think, in writing that, of being negative, of, you know, just wanting to put a negative spin on everything. I didn't really mean it negatively, frankly. I can understand why it would come off as negative, but I really more just meant to say that, you know, as you mentioned there, kind of in the opening, these events, you know, that they change things about day-to-day life in ways that we, you know, that we can't even kind of comprehend at the beginning. You know, World War II, as an example, and you know, not to get sort of too in the weeds with it, but you know, World War II changed a lot of, began to change a lot of this country's attitudes toward race, and that extended pretty directly into sports. You know, 1946, the NFL officially broke the color barrier. 1947, Major League Baseball obviously famously broke the color barrier by the Korean War. The U.S. military was integrated pretty much completely. And that's just one example. You know, I can find you tons of others. That's just one. But events like these change, you know, the way that we interact with one another, the way that we see the world, the way that we, you know, what we value, what we want out of, I mean, life, employment, and sports often reflecting those sorts of things is not immune, or is not, you know, is not separate to that. And again, I didn't mean that in a negative way, but for example, you're already seeing sports being played behind closed doors in Taiwan. Germany believes that within the next month or so, it can bring soccer back, but it doesn't believe that it's going to have fans in stands again this calendar year. England believes it can do something similar. Obviously, there are sports leagues in this country that are exploring those possibilities, and everyone understands, of course, you know, sort of the moral questions, the ethical questions. We're not going to do it until it's safe. We're not going to do it until it's not a drag on, you know, healthcare systems and different communities and things like that. But the point is, if we spend the best part of a calendar year playing sports with no fans, then leagues are going to change the way they present sports. I mean, they are, you know, they're going to change the way they deliver them. They're going to change the way that they package and sell them to us. And when I say sell them, I don't mean just physically, but I mean, you know, in the broader sense of, you know, what leagues do to try to appeal to you, to get you to watch their product. It's going to change probably the way that they're delivered to us. You know, one thing that's been floated that I don't think I mentioned in the piece, for the smaller clubs, soccer clubs in England that, you know, don't typically rely largely on gate receipts and tickets rather than in attendance, rather than television, because they're smaller, sort of community clubs. Think of them maybe a little bit like minor league baseball teams, but professional. Something that's been floated is the idea of almost selling a virtual season ticket. And, you know, essentially instead that the club finds a way to, you know, televise the product. And instead of buying a season ticket to sit in the stands, you buy a season ticket to sit in front of your television, but you watch the game, but maybe you get a more in-depth, you know, experience. Maybe they take you behind the scenes. I don't know. And I can go on and on. I'm rambling here at this point, but this is going to change the way that we interact with sports. And I don't necessarily mean, you know, entirely in bad ways, but it will change it. And as we have these discussions about when we want sports back and how, and when's the right time, and when's it appropriate, and so on and so forth, we should be thinking about this as well, because it's going to come up. It's going to be an issue.
Zach, when we think about IU and new athletic director, incoming AD, I think is the right way to say it, Scott Dolson, maybe he's got some heads up because he's been involved in college sports for so long and he's already embedded somewhat in the IU athletic operation and department. But can you imagine taking over a large program at a high major power conference, Power Five conference like Indiana, and knowing that you've got a lack of funds from March, you've got a lot from the conference and very likely the NCAA tournament, knowing that spring sports were canceled and you've got a number of those athletes that do want to come back for that extra year of eligibility granted by the NCAA, and then not sure about football and tickets, even if football is played, ticket money, fans, because we're beginning to see more college conference commissioners and more ADs and other people speak up about some real concerns. Cincinnati eliminated its soccer program on a whim and did that last week out of budgetary concerns. And I think we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg. There have been other examples of eliminations and very very concerning messages from ADs and, again, conference commissioners. I think we're just beginning to see the tip of the iceberg as to how this could affect college sports from a budget perspective. And, of course, if football, for some reason or somehow was not played, even your more successful schools and your bigger athletic departments, it would get very hairy, I think, from a financial perspective.
Football's the one that no one can afford to lose. I mean, to kind of work backward through your question, you know, using Cincinnati as an example, Cincinnati is already a school that's taking, I want to say something like almost $30 million in what we call allocated revenue, which is basically revenue either coming from the university itself or from like a state legislature to keep the department solvent, because, you know, departments like Cincinnati, like Central Florida is another one that I'm aware of, I believe UConn, are departments that want to behave like Power Five schools, but they're not going to make Power Five money, certainly not off of their television contracts and probably not off of their football programs, maybe not even off their basketball programs. And so, you know, when you see Cincinnati cutting soccer, to, you know, to be honest with you, it's going to be those schools that get hit hardest first, the ones that are already taking so much outside money to stay solvent that it's going to be pretty hard to justify continuing to take that money without trimming costs yourself, you know, to some degree. But to your point, if we don't get a football season, and to be really clear, you know, it's kind of tricky for college sports in a way that it's not for the NFL or the NBA, because those sports don't have a real sort of moral question when it comes to playing behind closed doors. You know, college athletics could survive a year without fans in the stands at football games. But if you can't have fans in the stands, then it's probably pretty hard to justify asking amateur athletes to compete on the field and to be, you know, in such close proximity on the field if you don't feel that fans can be in close proximity in the stands. And that kind of goes back to that conversation that apparently Vice President Pence had with a number of conference commissioners, where the conference commissioners essentially said, we don't see a route to having sports until we have students back in classes. And I think that's a very direct nod to the idea that we can't defend the idea of amateurism if we're asking some students to come back just because they play sports and they play sports that make money, when we're saying to the rest of the students, it's not safe yet, don't come back to campus. I do think from Indiana's perspective, and this was something that maybe, you know, even somebody like me probably should have made a little bit more out of, for lack of a better term, when Scott Dolson was picked. You know, that there was an undeniable, it wasn't the only reason, but it was mentioned to me, you know, both on the record and then speaking kind of on background to people involved in the search, that because of everything going on with coronavirus, Scott's, you know, sort of background within the university, within the department, the idea of a steady hand at the wheel, essentially, was appealing. And I think, it, you know, at the time, the people that, the readers that did pick up on that kind of said, oh, geez, you know, are you letting coronavirus dictate all of your decision-making here? I think that as this really unfolded, I think it makes those people either look much, you know, very well informed or really very prescient, because I think that we can sit here now and say, as you talk about, as you point out, this is going to be a months-long thing to deal with in college athletics, if not a years-long thing. The idea of someone coming in from the outside, having to familiarize themselves with the leadership structure, the budgets, the economics, the politics, the culture of the department, I think that would be exceptionally difficult right now. And I do think it is a real advantage for Indiana that the person they have stepping into that role is going to make a very seamless transition on those kind of background issues, so to speak.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, good stuff. And we could probably spend an entire show talking about these sorts of things with all going on right now and the concerns about the coming months and perhaps even beyond in college sports and really at all levels of sports. But I want to close with a basketball question. Luke Goody from Fort Wayne, he attends Homestead High School, committed to Illinois on Friday afternoon. By my count, Luke Goody's commitment is the sixth high major commitment to a big school high major basketball program from players within the state's borders. And it kind of underscores how good the junior class seniors for next year really are. You got Trey Kaufman undecided. There are some other players in that class undecided as well. But that has been a special class. You can look over the years and see how good Indiana, even if they haven't went to Indiana, how good of senior classes that Indiana, the state, has put through, and the talent and where they've went and the success they've even had in college. This 2021 class, as we start to really focus in on them this offseason and this summer from an IU recruiting perspective, and really just a class of great players, they have the opportunity to be a really, really special class graduating from our state.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think, you know, I'm curious to see. I mean, you know, Trey Kaufman hasn't committed yet, and it's not like you normally get a ton of kids from Indiana that leave the region anyway. I think there's always going to be a real appeal for kids who grow up in this area to play Big Ten basketball, or, you know, if they go down a level, Missouri Valley basketball, Summit League basketball, you know, maybe if it's the SEC, they're going to Kentucky or maybe Tennessee. But it does strike me that you're seeing a lot of regional commitments too. You know, you mentioned Illinois there, obviously Caleb First staying in state, Christian Lander staying in state. I think a lot of people, you know, right now see kind of the big four for Trey Kaufman as what, Indiana, Xavier, Louisville, and someone who's escaping my mind all of a sudden. I sort of wonder, and I don't mean to turn everything back to coronavirus, but I sort of wonder if we aren't going to see a little bit more of this regional approach for a while here, because these are schools all of a sudden, you know, if we potentially see the you know, sort of possibility of mobility via air travel limited, then maybe kids start to think about staying in state a little bit more often, or a little bit, you know, a little bit more regularly, I suppose. I referenced in that piece you mentioned a conversation between John Calipari and Mark Cuban, where Cuban sort of tried to get playfully tried to get Calipari to agree to renew the Kentucky series. And part of his suggestion was nobody's got to get on a plane. You know, we can just flip a coin for Bloomington or Lexington and you can just ride a bus. And that way we don't have to risk, you know, putting these athletes on planes and that sort of thing. I wouldn't be surprised if we see, you know, what as you say is frankly one of the most talented classes. I mean, what are the ones we've seen in recent past? 2017 is certainly one. 2012 is certainly one. I wouldn't be surprised. 2014, another. If we see some of these classes, you know, frankly, more not just IU and Purdue, but maybe IU, Purdue, Butler, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Michigan, Illinois, as you mentioned, see a few more kids stay closer to home in the next few years. And again, this is where it goes back to this idea. Is that a bad thing? Is that a negative thing? I don't think so, but I think it is something that could wind up being an impact that we see 3, 5, 7 years out from this that we wouldn't have anticipated before it began.
Absolutely. Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, with us on Mondays always. Zach, thanks for the chat. I know you're, I believe, off this week, on furlough this week, if I saw correctly. Appreciate you still being willing to come on with us and talk some sports and some IU basketball.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, as always.
All right, Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star. We will head to a commercial break when we come back in the final segment. Chad Gilbert, former coach, Charlestown athletic director, and IHSAA executive board member, he joins us. We're going to talk about that Jordan documentary from last night. I can guarantee you that. Also, we will feature our senior athlete, our senior spotlight today. We'll tell you all about Cooper Bivin of New Albany Baseball. He's had a tremendous career. He's committed to play college baseball. We'll give you his profile coming up. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach, who got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Final segment of our Monday program. Chad Gilbert, my guest. He always joins me to talk local sports and more. We also have our senior spotlight today. Cooper Bivin of New Albany Baseball is who we will highlight as we close the program out today. Chad, I know, like myself and like many, many others, especially in this stay-at-home time with no live sports, that you were hunkered down last night to watch the first two episodes of The Last Dance, the Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Chicago Bulls documentary, and it was absolutely fantastic.
Matt, talked about binge-watching Ozark, watching different shows on Netflix and Prime. It's 11 o'clock last night, and I was telling Amy, we got to find the cheat code. We got to get all the rest of these 8 episodes and just watch them right through. I mean, this, you know, talking about, do you get goosebumps on your arms talking about that? And you were a little younger. You know, Amy, we were talking about Jordan's rookie season. She said, I was just telling her about how I remember this, I remember that. Amy said, Chad, I wasn't born then. So, you know, you may be in that same ball game on there. You might not have been born around that time either. But it was outstanding. It was, you know, in thinking about Jordan, I told Amy, I went to Indianapolis. And if you may be able to remember this, you were probably in high school. Robbie Valentine, myself, Eric and Aaron, his sons, drove up to Indy and watched Jordan first came back with the Wizards. And I'm sure they'll touch upon that as the story goes on. But for the electricity, just him coming into Banker's life was unbelievable. And can you just imagine what electricity he brought to the whole city of Chicago? Because you think about it, I thought the documentary was outstanding. It laid the groundwork of how bad the Bulls were before he got there and the excitement that he brought in. And it was something that special people do, those type of things. You know, a guy that I can give that same credit to is Coach Pearl. And he has that same type of thing, that same type of thing with him, that he makes everyone better around him, just like Jordan does. And he creates that excitement where you feel part of it. And that's something that Jordan does out there. And you could tell by the way the crowds got into the game, the city took them in, because, you know, we talked about the city being predominantly Bears fans, North Side being Cubs fans, South Side being White Sox fans. And there was the Blackhawks took the whole city, and they said that there was an indoor soccer team that was getting bigger crowds than what the Bulls were. So him coming in doing that, that just set the tone for the whole run. It's just unbelievable.
Chad, I gave a couple takeaways at the start of the show. One was the fact that Jordan got cut his sophomore year. That's kind of an iconic story, but it was reiterated last night in one of the early episodes. The other thing that's amazing is Scottie Pippen. He played NAIA-level basketball, and I know that's good basketball, but NAIA-level, and wasn't even a scholarship player until right when the season began and some other players had some academic problems. He got better, he got bigger, he got taller in college, and obviously became a great NBA player. The thing I wanted to bring up with you, and I think in today's society with radio, sports, you know, around the clock, with ESPN networks around the clock, I think this would have gotten a lot more time and exposure than what it did back then. And I'm not even sure that it was discussed even when contracts were signed a lot. But Scottie Pippen, with what he made as far as his salary, his contract, how low it was despite how good his statistics were. I mean, he led the Bulls in a lot of categories. He was the consummate teammate that made sure – Jordan and even others at times got the ball when they needed it. He fit that role to a T and was vastly underpaid.
Well, I thought all along growing up, I was always a Pippen fan. You know, and early on, I thought Jordan, you know, Bob Knight, you know, was ahead of the curve on that. He saw how good Jordan was. But early on in his career, I always thought Jordan was kind of a gun. And, you know, he shot, but he did that watching that documentary on necessity. When Pippen came in, he kind of brought him under his wing, and it was kind of Batman and Robin. And I always thought Pippen was right there with Jordan. Now, a lot of that had to do with him playing alongside of him, that the best player wasn't always guarding Pippen. The best player guarded Jordan, so he had the second best guarding. And that played a lot in what he could do. But he was vastly underpaid. But I thought the one thing that was cool on that was that Jerry Reinsdorf, you know, the owner of the Bulls, he said, he told him, "You sure you want to do this?" And he said, "Once we make this contract, we're not going back on it." So I kind of put the ball in Pippen's court. And I thought a little bit, I thought MJ was right when he said Scotty was a little selfish at that point in the season to do that. But it all worked out in the end. And like you said, Pippen is one of the 50 all-time best players ever to play in the NBA.
You mentioned the Wizards coming back to Indianapolis. I'm sure that will be mentioned at some point later in this long-form documentary. But I think about, and I was young. I was born in 84 when he was a rookie. But I remember watching, especially playoff games. I think about Detroit, the rivalry that the Bulls and the Pistons had. I was a little too young to really understand that and to really follow that. I know that's got to be coming up pretty soon, I would think, in one of the next episodes. So I'm excited about that. And there are so many moments throughout his career that you think back about, whether it was a certain performance or something that happened, obviously the death of his father, the baseball experiment that you know is going to be included in this. Just something, I'm like you, I'm not a big, I don't watch TV as far as from a binge perspective, maybe a little more now in this time we're in now, but I think it's 10 episodes, I believe, and I could have watched all 10 last night.
Oh, and you brushed on something, Matt. Between now and then, if fans have something to do this week, watch the 30 for 30 on the Pistons. You want to talk about it, outstanding. And that'll come into play as this documentary goes on, but how the Pistons were always the hump that the Bulls couldn't get over. And once they did, you know, if you remember that game, I could remember, I was a senior in high school, Pistons walk off the court and wouldn't shake the Bulls' hands. And it was pretty cool, and that's something, you know, a little bit of background you could go on that one. But, you know, you're talking about Jordan. I would guess that he wasn't the easiest guy to coach. Probably not the easiest guy to play with. But if you wanted to win championships, he'd bring you up to a level of that you had to to be on in order to win those things. And, you know, history speaks for itself. One thing that I thought was cool in there is, you know, how cool is Bill Jackson? You know, how cool is Pat Riley? Those cats, man, those are guys that guys like me would want to strive to be at this point in their life. You know, those guys were just calm, demeanor, smart, and just cool dudes. They had that swag. You know, they're 70 years old. They still got swag to them. I thought the way they were portrayed out was awesome. But the one guy that I thought was good, you know, they kind of made Jerry Krause look like a villain. And, you know, they clowned on him, said he's taking short pills. If he wanted to get in layup line, they need to lower the rims. But, you know, he was personal with him and Phil Jackson. But outside of that, he was doing what he had to do. And as an AD, as a coach, sometimes you have to do those things, and they're not fun. And, you know, to give him credit on doing those things, that's not an easy job, but that was something he had to do. And, Matt, you know, one thing I'll tell you, the best part of the show was how were the goosebumps whenever they introduced the 97 team and they were getting their rings. And, you know, the Bulls, you know, introduction songs playing in the background. You know, that would make every kid want to get up and do some ball handling drills. Every kid should be out shooting today. That makes an old guy like me want to come out of retirement and coach. You know, to have that juice. You know, you're sitting there watching the introduction, and you're feeling that juice running through your veins. And that's something that I hope that show cultivates the people is the amount of juice that's involved in that. And, you know, and then that's part of the deal is the juice. If you're at that high level, whether it's your high school team, a college team, if you want to perform on that high level, there's got to be some juice involved.
Absolutely. Chad Gilbert, former coach, Charlestown AD currently, also an IHSA executive board member. Good stuff. You were the perfect guest to talk about that documentary with, I'm sure, with you coming on Mondays, the documentary on Sunday nights, that we'll have a lot more conversations. And so happy that ESPN made the move and had it the ability to move it up. It wasn't supposed to air maybe until later in May into the summer, but because of the shutdown, I think this is perfect timing. Where this will become the centerpiece of a lot of people's sports weekends. Chad, thanks for the chat.
Appreciate it, Matt. Thanks for all the run, and enjoy those shows.
Absolutely. I want to wrap things up today before we get out of here with our senior spotlight. Each day on the program, we do this to recognize a senior sport athlete from Clark and Floyd counties. Today, Cooper Bivin of New Albany High School. Cooper, a baseball standout for Chris McIntyre and the Bulldogs. His junior season, he had a batting average of .440, only one error in his time at second base last season for the Bulldogs. Cooper, very strong on the baseball field, the consummate team player and obviously leader. And as senior, you can really expect or was expecting big leadership from Cooper this season. Academically, Cooper Bivin is very strong as well. He will graduate in June from New Albany with an academic honors diploma and go on to attend college. More on that coming up in just a few moments. Something you may not know about Cooper or some hobbies, some passions of his, he wrote that he loves watching college football, even though he's never played football. I know that Cooper is a big U of L football fan as well. He wanted to give a couple shout-outs to the New Albany baseball coaching staff, Coach McIntyre, Coach Hall, and Coach Burnett. He says, thank you for all the time spent on me as a player to help me get where I needed to be. He also wants to give a shout-out to the trainer at New Albany, Liz. She said, you deserve the biggest shout-out. He had an ACL issue during his high school career and a couple other underlying injuries as well. So he wants to give a shout-out to Liz, the trainer. Cooper Bivin is the son of Josh and Jessica Bivin. He will attend Kentucky Wesleyan to play baseball upon graduation from New Albany High School. Congratulations to Cooper, another great senior from our immediate area that was set to have a fantastic year on and off the field. And Cooper, congratulations on your commitment to Kentucky Wesleyan. It's a great fit for you. We know you'll have lots of success there and work into a great career at Kentucky Wesleyan. Again, we're doing this every day to recognize local athletes that have had their senior season stripped from them because of the current pandemic that we find ourselves in. And so today, Cooper Bivin, we salute you for 4 years of hard work, lots of success on the baseball field and off of the field as well. Best of luck in the future. That's going to wrap things up for this Monday edition of the program. Back with you Tuesday, we have Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, Mike Pegram on IU basketball and football from Pigs. Lots more coming up later in the week as well. Make a point to be with us each day at 11 o'clock. If you can't be with us live, you can find our podcast at SoundCloud. That's soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report, or find us on Apple Podcast as well. Talk to you tomorrow. Stay home, stay safe. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.